Welcome to Grace Church 101 Class 2. One of the things we never want to do around here is assume the gospel. We want to make sure that we are clear about what the gospel is and that you are clear about what the gospel is and that hopefully the gospel is clear and clearly taught in preaching and teaching and everything that goes on from the wee children all the way up through the adults. So we have always done this and we'll continue to do this to just take a class and talk about the gospel. So, basic question. What is the good news? What is the gospel? I gave you on the screen one answer. If y'all don't know what the gospel is, we need... Thank you. That's the best one-word summary of the gospel. Really, it's true. Jesus.
Life, death, and resurrection
of Jesus. Now we're going. All right. So, gospel, euangelion, means good news. Good news about what? Michael Horton said this, from Genesis to Revelation, the gospel is God's promise of a son who will crush the serpent's head, forgive the sins of his people, raise them from the dead, and give them everlasting life solely on the basis of his grace for the sake of Christ. So, solely on the basis of Christ. One of the summary verses in anything you go to, like in 1 Corinthians 15:4, Romans 6:23, these are summaries that are packed, dense with meaning. But Romans 6:23, one of the things Cindy and I were talking about recently on something we were watching, it was a Christian movie. She looked at me about two-thirds of the way through it and said, "Have we heard the gospel?" And we hadn't, because we hadn't heard the bad news. We'd heard all about Jesus and His resurrection and belief in Him, believing that. But there was no mention of the reason we need a gospel. So the wages of sin is death. That's what Romans 6:23 says. The payoff of sin is death. And that's not just physical death, but spiritual death. It's separation from God. So that is where physical death came from, the first sin of our first parents in the garden. But physical death is only the door into, apart from Christ, spiritual death, which is hell, however you want to put it. It's not annihilationism, it's not ceasing to exist, anything like that. It is satisfying the justice of God on our own, which we can never do. So Paul says the wages or the payoff of sin is death, but now watch this, the free gift of God. And that's vital to hold to. So we never give the impression that people can earn it. It is a gift because Christ has earned it. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the payoff of our sin is death. What, by the way, what is sin? Somebody define sin for me. Okay.
Breaking God's laws.
Thank you. That's good enough. It's any lack of conformity to or transgression of the law of God. What is the law of God? Where is it summarized?
Leviticus.
Ten Commandments, yeah. So that is what you see summarized and applied to Israel in the Old Covenant in their situation. It is not done away with. Moral law is moral law. It abides. But it's not doing everything the law commands or doing what it forbids. That is sin. It's distrusting God so that we disobey Him. He's clear about what that is. But, and I love the but, you know, buts in Scripture, like in Ephesians 2, but God. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. No and after that. Period. Just in Jesus Christ. Yes.
It's also sin is our inheritance from Adam.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing that we can get away from.
Right.
When we're born. It's an inheritance.
It is. You may hear the term original sin. Original sin does not mean the first sin. Original sin is the guilt and corruption of nature that we inherit from our father Adam. So it's this what we talk about. We say things like sin nature. Things like that. But sin, technically, violation of God's law, and that's what brings condemnation from a holy God, and it's a just response. Paul says this as a summary of the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. I deliver to you as of first importance. Notice what he says is first importance. What I also received, that Christ died for our sins. And that is so packed with meaning. Who is Christ? What is the Christ? What did he died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. All this was predicted in the what we call the Old Testament. That he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Paul says that is the gospel. Jesus. Jesus doing, dying, you know, Jesus living, dying, resurrection. That is the gospel. Notice the raised on the third day, resurrection is part of the good news. He's not our Savior if he wasn't raised. He's not the Son of God if he wasn't raised from the dead. No room for being a Sadducee. Ephesians 2, I'm just giving you some of my favorite places. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. We cannot earn it. We cannot work our way to it. It is the gift of God. What is? The entire grace by faith salvation. It is the gift of God, not a result of our works or your works, not a result of works so that no one may boast. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He appointed beforehand. So I'm showing you more and more places where it's a gift. It's a free gift. It's not earned. We can't earn it. We can't pay it back. We can't repay God for it. We constantly get on the legalistic treadmill. Jesus has earned it. Jesus gives Himself to us. That is salvation. As a free gift. Through faith. Even the faith is a gift. So our response. Our response to the gospel is conversion. Repentance and faith. Repentance is a change of heart that results in a change of action. It's a change in the direction of the soul from unbelief to belief, from rebellion to submission, from love of sin to hatred of sin. That's what God produces in our hearts as He gives us a new heart. He takes out the stony heart and He replaces it with a heart of flesh. Pictures there. One is unresponsive to God and the other responds to God. The Spirit in our hearts, sin, indwelling in us, causes us to hate sin, love God, and seek to be free from sin. And even to come to faith in Jesus requires repentance. We have to turn from unbelief and loving sin to belief and faith. So, and then faith is more than mental assent. Knowledge of the gospel, belief that the gospel is true. We talk about that sometimes. There's a good, I mean, the Reformers had a really good definition of saving faith. They said it included assent, basically belief, but there was a missing element if you stopped there, right? And that's what I'm putting out here. So the three elements of saving faith are knowledge of the facts of the gospel. You have to hear about Jesus to trust in Him. Knowledge of the facts of the gospel, and then assent, mental assent, but we have to believe that those facts are true. Are we saved yet? No. Demons believe and shudder, Scripture says. It's not enough just to mentally assent to the gospel. You'll witness to people. You'll go out and talk to people and they'll say, I believe in God. Maybe you do want to say it sometimes, but most of the time you don't want to just say, well, so does the devil. That doesn't get you anywhere. But helping them see these three segments here. So it's knowledge of the gospel, belief that the gospel of is true. And I'm just highlighting again, it's a gift of God, not a result of works. But that last part, true saving faith, is knowledge, assent, and trust. It's me giving my soul, trusting my soul to Jesus. Believing in Jesus is trusting Him to be who He said He was, to have done what He said He has done, and His promise being true so that you receive, you believe, you receive it as a free gift. But without that trust in Christ alone, there is no salvation. There's just knowledge. Does that make sense? Confusing anybody? Questions? Comments? So what is the gospel? Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He's in the grave for a time. Raised the third day. Resurrection, ascension, rule, returning. But not, Paul stops there. He is a risen Savior who has died to pay the penalty of our sin, who has provided a righteousness that we did not have, so that when we trust in Him, we can know that our sins are washed away in His blood, His righteousness is credited to our account, and that we are declared righteous by God on the basis of Jesus and Jesus alone. You're a Christian from the moment you trust in Jesus alone as your Savior. And all of this is a free gift. What happens? The gospel goes forth. The Spirit works through the gospel, not just for a general call for people to come, but an effectual call in the hearts of people to draw them to faith in Jesus Christ, so that they turn and trust. We struggle all the time. Sometimes we struggle over election and who is elect. You know how you're elect? There's this little yellow dot back here. You have faith. That's how you know. You've come to faith in Jesus. It's not.
So, I mean, to have those three elements part of salvation, okay, it's a lot easier to do the knowledge and the ascent, but when you say trust, you're just talking overall trying hard to trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. It doesn't mean, like, right, when you're struggling sometimes with fear and anxiety.
Yeah, there's one word missing there.
Okay.
Perfect trust.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying none of us have perfect faith yet. If anybody is in this room that never struggles with questions or doubt or fear, I need to talk to you. I need to find out how you do that. In fact, you would not still be here because you'd be glorified and in heaven with Jesus. And push to the wall. All of us struggle, right? But if we're pushed to the wall, what are you depending on to get to heaven? If you're trusting Jesus, you will say Jesus. Not that you're good enough or have done these good things. But nobody is claiming to have a perfect faith that never struggles.
Perseverance.
Yeah, perseverance of the saints through the struggle. God perseveres us and grows us. I'll say from personal testimony, I grow the most when I'm struggling the most of the time. Because things get easy and I start presuming and just coasting, right? But then you start going through a trial and a hardship, and it causes, God's Spirit causes His children to press in at that point. And we grow. But every person in this room who's trusting in Jesus could give testimony to struggling with fear and anxiety and doubt and, you know, unbelief at times. So it's not a perfect trust, but this Jesus is the one in whom you are putting your hope for eternal life. You know, and if you have true faith, God will persevere and grow that, and you'll never come to the place where you say, I used to believe that, but no more. I believe I'm good enough to get in. You know, that just reveals that you didn't have faith. You didn't lose it. You didn't have it. But yeah, no, nobody, take the weight off. Nobody in this room has a perfect faith. I'm confessing my own sin. Oh, but you. Okay. No.
Yeah.
No.
Where does the repentance come in those?
Conversion is repentance and faith.
Okay.
And then this is outlining the faith segment of conversion.
Oh, okay.
And so in the previous slide, we had conversion. That is, when you hear conversion, it's like a coin with two sides.
Uh-huh.
One side is repentance, one side is faith.
Okay.
Right? But there's not conversion if one of those is missing. If I claim to trust Jesus and I still love sin and that's really what my life looks like, my claim to faith is a false claim. Right? If I claim to have salvation and it's only just repentance, what we call repentance and me trying to do better,
yeah,
it's a false claim as well. Yes, Anna?
We can't repent until after we believe. Otherwise, it would be
worse. Well, it would be if God didn't give it as a gift. It's a package. We talk about them separately, but this all happens at once when we get a new heart through the preaching of the gospel. So sometimes the Bible mentions repentance without mentioning faith. And sometimes it mentions faith without mentioning repentance, but they're both implied in conversion. Even to believe, you have to repent because you have to go from unbelief to faith. Right? But to repent, you have to believe. So they're intertwined, but we talk about them separately, but they're distinguished but not separated in the life of a child of God. So it's justification by faith alone, if that's where you're kind of thinking. It comes through the requirement of the covenant is faith, is trust God and believe and receive as Savior. Right? Even to do that, we have to turn from unbelief to believing. And God does that work in our hearts by His Spirit. I hope that's clear.
Pastor, doesn't that have to do with now when we come to faith, we accept Him as our Savior, which is the faith part, but we also are supposed to be accepting Him because He's come into our heart, that He is our Lord now. For the rest of the life we have here and through eternity with Him in heaven, then that's the repentance. A lot of us struggle with that. He's the Lord of our life while we're still here on earth.
Yeah.
So it's like that flip coin. Yeah. A lot of us want the Savior, but we don't want to be the Lord of our life.
Yeah, and that usually reveals a false faith.
Yeah,
not that we struggle with sin, but a lot of people, they want a free ticket to heaven, but no, don't mess with me about my life. That's not biblical Christianity, right? So, but it's all a gift of God. The Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, gives us life. And the evidence of life is repentance and faith. Those are like you spank a baby and they cry. This is the cry of the converted soul, is turning and trusting. So we don't believe in decisional regeneration where we believe and then we're regenerated or born again. We believe we're born again and this is the evidence of it. Or the fruit of it is probably a better word. Is that clear? So yeah, we can separate and talk about, but they're never separate in the heart of one that God brings to faith. He changes everything about us from the inside out. He gives us, we go from trusting in ourselves or our parents or whatever to trusting in Christ. We go from loving sin to hating it and wanting to be free of it and growing in being free of it by God's grace. So that'll just help you as you're witnessing. When you're talking to people about faith in Jesus, you have those in your head. Knowledge, assent, trust. Until we get to trust, we have no faith. Not saving faith. And not everybody you will see convert at the moment of witness either. So just know those. Most important question is not when you were saved, but are you right now trusting in Jesus alone? If you had the privilege of being raised in a Christian family, you may never remember a moment that you were not trusting in Jesus. Don't fight against that. That's okay. That's a huge blessing. Don't ever want the dramatic testimony that I have of being converted at age 26, because I brought a lot of baggage with me, having lived for sin and self for all those years. Looking back on it now, I would much rather have your testimony of being raised in a Christian home and never going through all that. So it's not about, you know, whether or not you're saved is not whether you can point to a date. It's whether right now, as you're sitting before me, you are trusting in Jesus. So that is the crucial factor, is your faith in Christ and in Him alone. But salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, revealed in Scripture alone. Thoughts? Thank you for these questions and clarification. This is what we want. It's what we want people to hear on the recording too, is people asking their questions. So, any others? Well, I'll throw this out for you. So is your testimony that you have turned and are trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? That you have received and are resting in Jesus Christ alone for acceptance with God? If so, you're a Christian and you're welcome to join Grace Church. So in other words, the only hurdle we put in front of you to joining Grace Church is that you have a credible testimony of faith in Jesus. And we'll talk more about this later, but we are a believer's baptism church, but Presbyterians can join Grace Church without being rebaptized. That is their conviction. As long as they're not depending upon their baptism for regeneration, for salvation. We won't make people be rebaptized. Now, if you come to the conviction that you want to be, we will certainly do that for you. But what Jesus puts before you, we put before you, and that is faith in Him. So if you're trusting in Christ and in Christ alone, you can be a member of Grace Church. Thoughts and questions? You're saying these are going fast. I'm like, yes, they are. The next one won't. So, which is, hopefully it'll be fun. A good discussion. John Newton. Read about John Newton. Read about Christians. But he said this near the end of his life. I know two things. I am a great sinner. And Christ is a great Savior. His hope for forgiveness, for life, for salvation was not in himself, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Much like Paul at the end, near the end of his life, who said he's the chief of sinners. And God had mercy on him that the rest of us can have hope. Some of us might argue with him as whether or not he was chief, but how many of us were persecuting and killing the church before Christ brought us to faith? So he's got a good case. All right, coming up next, the theology of Grace Church.